to call the meeting to order January 28th at 12:11. Sorry for our tardiness. We're finishing some last minute things. Before I get started, I just want to say there's a couple little snack sandwiches stuff over there. Please feel free to help yourself. That way our stomachs don't rumble. But let's see. I need somebody to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Can I ask Commissioner Ramos, would you mind leading us in the pledge?
Absolutely. If I would, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, and now will you please take the roll?
Yes. Commissioners, please indicate your presence when I call your name. Commissioner Hertz-Mallari.
Here.
Commissioner Brazier-Sevens.
Present.
Commissioner Mahoney.
Here.
Commissioner Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner Weiss.
Present.
Commissioner Miles.
Present.
And Commissioner Ramos.
Present.
Thank you. We have everybody here today, so we do have a quorum.
That's exciting. Okay, do we have any public comment?
We don't, but let me just do the whole opening script real quick.
Sorry, my council thing is taken over.
Okay. Noting for the record that we do have a quorum, and just some housekeeping notes. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered, except as provided by law. No action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The commission encourages public participation. Members of the public may request to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during general public comments. Please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the reading of the agenda item. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Public comments may also be submitted electronically by emailing response@ocgov.com. Also, please be aware that the room is microphoned for recording of the meeting. Please try to keep side conversations to a minimum as they may be picked up by microphones throughout the room. And please turn cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting. Thank you.
You. So when do we want to do the picture?
I thought we would like to start with it. Just to,
sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And then I think Gabby was finding the right location. So you ready for
it? Hi everyone. I'm Gabby. We're gonna step outside and take a photo in front of the boardroom.
Ooh, yeah. Everyone, fix their hair, fix their lips.
Yeah. You all look great.
Yeah. No sunglasses because we want to see everyone's face.
Don't worry. We won't be in the sun. We're gonna go to the side.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know we have two of our alternates here. Do we want to do a picture with the commissioners and then a commissioner and then a picture with the alternates as well?
Yes. Or? Definitely. Yeah. Great.
Well, the left door, if you open it all the way and push it just past, it'll stay open.
No, yeah. Okay, we can leave it open, but like for instance, somebody was on the phone out there. So.
Oh, yeah. But no, just when they come back in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was able to get it so that it didn't shut all the way.
Oh,
we could just so, but we need to find where that door stop went.
Yeah.
Oh, is the recording still on?
Yeah, I was gonna pause.
Yeah. Yeah. District alternate.
She's not here. She texted me and she's sick with the flu. So my alternate.
I was like, wait.
She couldn't make it today.
Okay. Well, maybe next time then.
Yes.
Okay.
Exciting. We have alternate.
Right. Yes.
And I can report that the one of the at-large alternates is on the next board agenda for appointment. So we'll have one of the two at-large alternates already also joining us in the very near future.
Okay, so I'm at-large, and who else is at-large?
At-large.
Commissioner Ramos. Okay, yeah, we're both at-large. Okay. All right, so we'll get some alternates too. Fantastic. All right, I already asked if there's any public comment, just to follow the agenda. Is there any public comment?
We do not have any general public comment.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item number one, approve the minutes of December 1st, 2025, regular meeting of the commission. Do I have any comments or anybody has any suggestions or anything about the minutes? Okay, so I have a request in the minutes. It does not reflect the full vote. So I was wondering if we could amend that to demonstrate the full vote. So I believe it was 3-3, so that's why it died. In the minutes, it just says that it was a motion made by me, seconded by Jolene.
Right, item number four.
Commissioner Mahoney. And then that there were 3 no votes against my recommendation, but I kind of feel like we should say that there were 3 yes and 3 no's, so that it died.
Okay, so I can say did not carry, and then I can list the commissioners.
The votes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's just important. So in the future, if somebody looks back, it kind of implies that it was a 3-2, and you would be like, why wasn't it passed?
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay, so with that amendment, do I have anybody that would like to move the
minutes? I'll move approval.
Okay, so moved by Vice Chair in a second. Mr. Mahoney, okay, all in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great, fantastic. Thank you. Okay, number 2, the big one, the ad hoc report. First, I want to say that our ad hoc committee, we worked our butts off, we really did, but probably not as much as county staff.
Yeah.
And so this would not be here today if it wasn't for all of you. And Zhao's not here, and I'd like her to be recognized as well. But to have Gabby and Chris Lynn and Liz and Zhao, and then I know Dr. Marchese, you were on a couple of them. I'd like the commissioners to understand, the Board of Supervisors, I know this is being recorded, you guys put in above and beyond what you're duties said. It's obvious that you care. Not just, you know, you could have said, no, I'm on personal time off. I'm not doing this. And you didn't. And we were texting. There was 10 o'clock calls. It was amazing. So I just want to say thank you and how honored I am to work with a group of people that care so much about women in Orange County. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Now we get to the meat and potatoes.
Hope you like it.
Okay, so this is today we're going to go through the whole thing. Write down your comments so that way we can present the whole thing as a fluid report. And then you guys are going to have, I believe we said 10 days, and you're going to get, you have this copy, and we can email them a copy also, right?
Yeah, just a housekeeping. So we're hoping that everyone has Adobe Acrobat. We would like to share it that way. It's a lot easier so that you could get a formatted version and add comments. And that way you're able to see even each other's comments so we can have it all in one. That would be our ideal.
Actually, correction, we don't need Adobe.
Yeah, so I can explain really quickly. Essentially, great. I'll send everyone a link. They'll be able to access that link. And as soon as you get on, if you have a comment you'd like to make, you'd use one of the tool functions. So make sure you're using the tool or else we won't know specifically where it's at on the page. And then you'll be prompted to enter in your name. So then because everyone has access to the link, we'll see everyone who's commenting. And you can reply to those comments. I can see them on my end. And then you'll be able to see in real time when I resolve them.
And then the ad hoc committee will meet one last time to go over all the comments and make determinations at that point. So please take notes, write down on your, because you're going to, this is what you're going to see today. And so you can write notes for yourself to just go back and take a look or whatever. But then that way you'll have 10 days to review it and make any comments. So are there any questions?
I just want to say, Gabby, when you send it out to everyone, would you mind just putting a sentence or two about how to go look for the edit button, click on that, and click on I think commenting, I think, is where they just to make, in case there are members of the commission that aren't familiar with that.
Definitely. So what I'll do is I'll add in a page in the very beginning, and if anything, I can put a screenshot of how the website will look when you go onto it. And then if you have any further questions, you can reach out to Crystalyn. She's an expert at putting edits in there for me. But of course.
Yeah. I just want to assume a level of
it'll have tools like you could strike out or and then write a comment about why you're striking out something or highlight and then make a comment, or sometimes you could just drop a pin and say add this here, so she'll know right in the document where you think something should.
Yeah, let's pick the date so that way people, I know everyone's busy, we did 10 days because that hopefully gives everyone enough time to plan their schedule. And again, I have to say I'm going to be the bad guy here, but if you can't make a comment on it in 10 days, sorry. So we're asking for it to be back by Sunday the 18th, so the 19th, is that what we said?
Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are we good with that, everyone? Okay. All right, moving on. So this would be our cover, the 2026 Women and Girls of Orange County.
Oh, sorry, my job. I'm on it.
Sorry. Really? You had one task. Okay, just the acknowledgments, lists all the commissioners, board supervisors, county staff, etc. Next slide. This will be the final thing in case anything moves, so obviously it's blank for a reason. Report summary. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Is that what we're okay with? You want me to just audibly read these sections? Yes? Do I say yes? Yes. Okay. Data within this report provides essential context to who the women and girls are within Orange County and offers meaningful insight into their lived experiences. Drawing from publicly available and reliable data sources, the report presents data that can be utilized to explore the condition and well-being of women across the county. To allow for comparisons, the data included incorporates broader regions and subgroups whenever feasible, such as the state of California, older women, 55 and older, and girls under 18 within OC. This multi-focus approach highlights both shared and distinct experiences among women and girls in Orange County, underscoring areas Orange County is faring well and or where there are persistent gaps. Beyond descriptive statistics, the report seeks to highlight areas of concerns or emphasis that can help to support women and girls in OC. Recognizing both strengths and challenges ensures that stakeholders can design interventions that address the diverse needs of women and girls in Orange County or OC. The insights gained serve as a foundation for developing highly targeted support programs, policy initiatives, and community partnerships. This report is not simply a collection of statistics, it is a call to action. By translating data into practical insight, it equips policymakers, nonprofit organizations, educators, healthcare providers, and community leaders with the evidence needed to design programs that are effective and responsive. The report highlights the importance of investing in initiatives that reduce disparities, strengthen support systems, and expand opportunities for women and girls across OC. Central to this effort is ensuring their economic well-being, which is paramount to long-term success and stability, is addressed. With this knowledge, stakeholders can move beyond broad assumptions to implement targeted strategies that reflect the realities of the community. In doing so, OC can build a stronger foundation of resilience and opportunity, ensuring that every woman and girl has access to the resources necessary to thrive. So I'm not going to read the whole entire report, just the parts where we added our information. If like this data summary is just highlights from the report. So this is this data summary, you'll be able to go in the report and find where these highlights or these data points are. So I'm not going to read that because this isn't anything that somebody created. Okay, so next page, data summary continued. Again, these are all just bullet points of data points in the report.
One question.
Yes.
There's the in red, add childcare. Are we just waiting for a specific data point?
We are. Okay. Yes, thank you. Yes, there's a specific childcare cost that we've been. That's what that meeting was out there.
And some of it is in, so you'll see some of it, and then we're just finalizing one piece.
It's really, we felt, the ad hoc felt it was really important to include specific figures for childcare costs for Orange County women, but in all the data that we've found, it was really hard to pinpoint if it was specific to Orange County women. So They've been working on it. That's
we're just trying to find a good
how to highlight it in a reliable way.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, but so we want to ensure that we're putting something about the high cost of childcare in Orange County. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Gretchen. I'm going to read this because this is something that was drafted by the ad hoc. Women have long been at the forefront of shaping our communities, advancing equity, and strengthening the fabric of our society. Through leadership, advocacy, and service across countless sectors, women have demonstrated unwavering commitment to progress, justice, and opportunity. Their contributions deserve recognition, respect, and continued support. Wait, we should have put that in. A woman leader is someone who steps forward, whether in government, education, business, or the nonprofit sector, to champion causes, uplift others, and drive meaningful change. In Orange County, numerous organizations and advisory bodies are dedicated to empowering women and ensuring their voices are represented in decision-making spaces. The OC Commission on the Status of Women and Girls works in partnership with Orange County departments and agencies, community organizations, and state-level initiatives to advocate for policies and programs that support women's health, safety, economic well-being, and civic engagement. Re-established September 2024, the Commission intends to play a vital role in identifying systemic barriers and recommending responsive, collaborative solutions. Building on these foundational efforts, the Commission will advance a comprehensive agenda that supports women across key areas of need and opportunity. Strategic initiatives will be advanced to strengthen economic and workforce development, ensuring women have equitable access to career pathways and entrepreneurship resources and leadership roles in both public and private sectors. Efforts to promote housing and financial security are also central, with identifying programs aimed at expanding affordable housing options, improving financial literacy, and addressing systemic barriers that disproportionately affect women, especially single mothers, older adults, and survivors of domestic violence. In the realm of healthcare and mental health, the county is working to improve access to preventative care, reproductive health services, and culturally competent mental health support. These services are vital to ensuring that women can thrive physically and emotionally throughout all stages of life. Equally important are initiatives focused on public policy and legal protections, which aim to safeguard women's rights, prevent discrimination, and ensure fair treatment in the workplace, education, and civic life. Through advocacy, legislative engagement, and community partnerships, the Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls is committed to creating a more just and inclusive environment for all women. Together, these efforts reflect a holistic approach, one that recognizes the diverse experiences of women and seeks to empower them through responsive, collaborative, and forward-thinking solutions. This report aims to provide an overview of women and girls within OC. The data included allows for evaluation of the condition of women and girls in OC and, when possible, enables comparisons to provided context. It is important to highlight areas of success and identify where additional services may be needed to support women and girls. By doing so, valuable insights can inform and guide the development, continuation, and improvement of targeted programs and initiatives that advance equity, opportunity, and well-being for women and girls in OC. This next page is just directly out of our bylaws on page 7, so there's nothing that's changed there. And then we get into the data. So this is something, this has been vetted a bazillion times. So I would love you guys to look at it, and if you have a comment or a question, make that when you preview the report. But we're going to...
I can add a little on this one. So it was important to put women at a glance as well as girls at a glance just to give context to who we're talking about throughout the report and all the different sections and the categories. So we could talk about those categories, but really start off hopefully showing who are those women and girls, how do they compare to California, who is it in Orange County? So kind of starting
off. I think that's a really important distinction. Yeah.
Okay, and then next page is Girls at a Glance on page 9. And then on page 10 is Data at a Glance. And this is from the Women's Wellbeing Index. We added this paragraph up here to try and explain this, so I'll read this. The Women's Wellbeing Index was developed by the California Budget and Policy Center in collaboration with the California Commission on the Status of Women and Girls. The index is composed of a score using multiple data sources in different categories to rank California counties. There are 5 categories, so hopefully you guys see, so there's health is a category, safety is a category, employment and earnings, economic, and then political empowerment. There are 5 categories, which reveal areas where women face gaps, health, personal safety, employment and earnings, economic security, and political empowerment, which each category has standardized items used, and the five category scores are combined to produce an overall county ranking, which ranks the county with one being the best ranking out of 58 counties. So when you look at this, you'll see health, the county rating out of 58, we're number five, which is pretty good. The index highlights ongoing disparities and provides a ranking among 58 California counties. Although this index currently uses a binary view of gender, it also recognizes that more inclusive data is needed to better reflect the experiences of gender diverse people. For more details on the Women's Wellbeing Index, please refer to the following link, and then it's down there. So, and then this just goes through the different categories in each, the different subcategories in each category and their rankings. So, a lot of the report conclusion or next steps is based on this, which we'll get to. So that's page 10, 11. Page 12, the staff did a really good job of anytime there was like a table or a graph or something, they have these little pop-outs that kind of help you understand that table or graph and or explain it a little bit more. So this one with the Women's Wellbeing Index. Page 13, household income. This is, again, they're comparing, you know, women in Orange County, women in the state. So a lot of data. Grab a bottle of wine sometime at night, sit down and look at it all. It's very interesting, actually. And then, like, poverty breakdown by age, et cetera, et cetera. Page 14, education. 15, we go into, you know, continuing with the education as far as highest degree obtained. And again, this is all data that is validated, so this is nothing the commission or ad hoc committee did anything with. So that's why we're going really fast over this, because you need to look at it. 16, 17, the enrollment rates, absenteeism, this was... staff did a really good job of getting those updated numbers at the advice of Commissioner Bracer Aceves. So these are more current numbers than they were, which is fantastic. Page 18, this leadership and representation. This is great. They updated because now our Board of Supervisors has two women on it, not just one. So you'll see in a data point it says that we're, you know, it was only 20%, but now it's 40% because we have the two women. So leadership and representation was good. And then child care. So this is, right now what you see, this colorful table here, that's probably going to come out. So this is kind of what we were having this little powwow about. Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, so this was taken, so there's two pieces to this page. So on the top, that's from our Conditions of Children's Report. It's the source from the California Home Society of California's Child Care Resources and Referral Programs. So it shows the trends of the cost of child care on a weekly basis and shows how different types of care potentially can really influence that cost per week. So what we really wanted to try to do on top of that is show, I think, how much that really adds up to in a year and how that compares to our median incomes, right? So it's a big chunk of people's median incomes, especially if we're talking about single women who have a child or multiple children, especially under the age of, as we can see here, five especially, right? So we were taking a look and doing deeper dive into this bar on the bottom, and it's from the First Five California put this out for their...
First Five OC.
Did this analysis. It's a little bit complex. So we were cross-checking the median income, for example. We weren't quite sure where they came up with that figure because it doesn't match the okay. So it's 114, I think, ish for our... family income, and this is also family data, not necessarily women information. So that's where our conversation was, just trying to calculate these weekly costs into a yearly cost, and and then show that against what we're showing previously in the report on those incomes so that everything, because going back to the reliable data, making sure that it cross-checks even within our own report. And then some of the projections from this MIT living wage calculator, when taking a look, it's not necessarily 2025 projections. And as we all know, things have gone really crazy financially, right? So there's different years for these estimates for housing, food, transportation, healthcare, taxes. So it gets really complex. So our thought is just to make sure we're reporting on something that we can reliably move forward with. But also highlight the impact of child care costs, because it's a huge.
It is huge. And so when the ad hoc met, and that was one thing, like when we were looking at the data and fleshing out, also in mind, knowing that in 2026, we have another report we're going to have to do. And in doing this, we kind of also thought like, well, maybe this will lead us into a direction of we'll know what we can focus on for next year as well, or this year now. So childcare was kind of one of those really poignant things, especially since I personally have had two conversations with two different supervisors about it. So we definitely wanted to make sure we had something and didn't realize until Chris Lynn pointed out, because that's what she does, she's amazing at it, is that although this bar here demonstrates the exorbitant cost of childcare, it doesn't reflect the Orange County single mom or woman head of household. So they're working on putting something in, but we definitely want to make sure that we have it included, because as you'll see at the end of the report, hopefully you guys will agree, there's a recommendation that childcare costs is one of our focus areas for 2026. So it's really important that gets in there, but it's not going to be this graph. Yes.
Just one question just for clarity. On the child care centers graph, are those licensed child care centers? Are they on the left? We, you know, clearly point out all licensed OC child care providers, and then the child care centers, I'm not sure if that's inclusive of those that are exempt from licensing.
You can check in the report, but it does say licensed family child care homes, because we do know there are child care homes that are not official, and the cost of those sometimes are not as pricey as a licensed family child care home if someone was just watching friends' kids and charging or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So for sure that, and I'm pretty confident that the child care centers would also be licensed. That
I think so too, but I'll come
to the California Child Care Resource and Referral Program.
Probably worth, if that's true, including mm-hmm. that, because there are other options that are unlicensed as well.
And other services.
All the data is specific to licensed child care spaces. The data does not include license exempt family, friend, and neighbor care.
So just add license before child care centers.
Yeah, I think
that would just be clear.
Right.
Or take off license under one of them and put a parenthesis, you know,
for
license.
License on the top and then the child care.
Yeah,
license child care. Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. See? You guys are so good at this already.
No, it's crazy how during COVID, right, you could see that just
even in the last year how it spiked.
Okay, any other questions or comments on page 19? Excellent call up, thank you. Page 20, dependent care, and this came from the Older Needs Assessment Report. Page 21, housing and households. Again, that's reliable and vetted. 22, healthcare. 23, discrimination. So this was another one that was really kind of hard to get data points for. So it's a small area because it was hard to find the data points, and it was also hard to make sure we didn't accuse anyone of being discriminatory if we found some data. You know what I mean? So do you want to speak to this?
Yeah.
So discrimination is tricky, along with a lot of other reporting, right? Especially when it's difficult to report. A lot of people don't report it. We know that it is underreported, generally speaking. So it is a really hard one, such as other, you know, topics like hate incidents, for example, we have issues with as well. So the commission felt strongly we putting something about knowing that it's out there, right? And kind of moving forward and seeing how we can kind of explore that a little bit more. But the good thing is for the Older Adult Needs Assessment Survey, I think this one speaks really highly too, as based on the women that are 55 and older, a big portion, one out of two, you know, did report that they had experienced in the past year age-based discrimination. So when you're actually asking and looking at these like holistic surveying it, as a question, right, we do have a large percentage of women in Orange County reporting discrimination. And then we're able to compare that to the men responses on our survey. So we did have some stuff to add, but that's where this blurb kind of comes from in this section.
It was interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to let everybody know, I'm not sure whether it was called out, but the headings of the topics in the report, like discrimination, et cetera, the reason that's a heading is because in our commission, in our bylaws, we listed it as one of our 9 mandate areas. And so the report isn't in the same order as these 9 mandate topics that we did, because we wanted to move up like economics and some of the health data and things like that. So they're reordered in the report, but every heading is, the purpose of it is to match up with our mandate.
Well, yeah, thank you for the
dark heading. So mental health discrimination, etc.
And it was interesting to note that we tried to find data. Was it you that was going to contact Todd Spitzer? We couldn't get the data for women. It was also the one where
the hate crime data.
The hate crime. They didn't have women hate crime. It was a race or a gender. Mm-hmm. And then the one where it was the perpetrator was a woman or something.
Right.
Is that
the
one?
The only hate crime data that pertained directly to women were the percentage of perpetrators that were women. They didn't track hate crimes against women per se. And so there was no even reporting of it. So you couldn't say, you know, 75% of the people who report hate crimes, whether they are a member of, you know, whether they're a member of a you know, protected community or whatever. So it was kind of interesting. So one of the things I think we say in here, well, maybe we don't say it in here. At some point, where the gaps are, and maybe some suggestions we'd like to make to other county departments to help them track some of this data in regards to women, because sometimes we wished we had data and they just don't track it. They may track it by race, ethnicity, lots of other ways, but not not women.
That was really interesting.
Did you say that they tracked it by race and gender? Or they don't?
No,
they do. Like gender, they tell you about gender discrimination claims, but then they don't break down, say,
who's
gender
reporting
discrimination, how many women reported gender discrimination versus men. So they would report that there has been blank amount reports of gender discrimination, but then they wouldn't break that down to say, well, how many of those were women? I mean, you can assume most of those are women, but not, you can't assume all. So we just had a dearth of data.
Warren, as an employment lawyer, I'm familiar with the CRD. Might warrant a little explanation. Typically, the CRD handles employment discrimination claims. And so it might be worth clarifying. It's such a loaded word, discrimination. I think clarity is so important. Clarifying if it's employment discrimination, emphasizing we're not talking about Orange County. And then there's also a reference to equal pay, but probably I'm assuming that this, the 57% is just discrimination based on a protected category, not necessarily equity, but just kind of clarifying that might be useful.
And your expertise, whatever you feel, please
include it in the editing process.
We don't want anything to detract from this. And if something is tending to make it feel like, you know, we use a word incorrectly that it's now causing scrutiny over here. We don't want that. We want it to have its own legs, that it's going to be received for what it is. So please feel free.
Great. My understanding is this is the last forum to really kind of flesh out issues with this report before it's finalized. So this is the space to raise with the whole group any concerns. So in case others have a different view, we can voice that now.
Perfect. Thank you. So I think if we add in that first sentence, approximately 57% of the complainants in employment civil rights cases, if we add employment there. And then I think it does, the second paragraph, although California tracks certain discrimination data pertaining to women, this specific information was not available for OC women. So I think that maybe hits your second point about that it specified that this isn't OC women general and that it's California women.
Mm-hmm. And Joanna, to even clarify it further, the heading could be changed to employment civil rights cases.
Yeah.
California
employment.
Yeah.
I agree. The more clarity, the better.
Yeah, those are great.
And there was a, you know, I'm going to bring up like our little, for next year, we can decide maybe where we want to put it. But based on the data that we had, wage gap issues, which I believe are often discrimination based, are handled under economic data in our report. So we talk about the disparity in gender pay, but it's not in discrimination. And so I think part of that was because our report just focuses on the data, and so without anything to tell us why women are making, you know, white women making 81 cents on the dollar of men, et cetera, that it seemed like the most appropriate way to do it was to keep discrimination, truly discrimination, as far as the California civil rights definition of discrimination is, and that our gender pay would be discussed under economics. But I think that's kind of open for discussion later if we do our own survey and find that, you know, Orange County women feel like they are have this wage gap in part because of discrimination, et cetera. Maybe this part would be beefed up, or maybe we always keep it separate. But just kind of wanted to, that was something that we spent a little bit of time on as a committee.
That was kind of my statement, where if we threw that into the discrimination area, then it looks like we're saying that businesses are discriminating. Like, looks like we're making a point that businesses are discriminating. And maybe they are, but we don't have any data to say that. So
that's pretty important.
Yeah.
So it stayed in financial because the wage gap is just what women and men make, right? So it could be based on the careers they're choosing. We can't really make that underlying assumption of discrimination based on it.
No, I think that's really important.
Later, we also have occupations, right? So it could be based on the occupations that they're choosing, and the occupations are lower paid occupations. It could be really, we don't know.
Assumptions,
So the data, Crystalyn, the data, there isn't data that compares in like occupations and roles?
There is. There's occupational data.
So the looking at the disparity.
So the salaries of women in healthcare versus men in healthcare, women in teaching, that's what you mean, right? Like within a,
sounds not like discrimination, but because it's not couched that way when they're doing the reporting on it, it's more data oriented than discrimination, because it's kind of, according to a lot of the sources, it's multi-layered about why those gaps exist. So
do we have someplace we can access actual data on what, like, let's just say an ENT, an ear, nose, throat doctor makes as a woman versus an ENT as a man? Do we have any of that?
I don't know if we, Bureau of Labor statistics?
And I think it gets really complex, though, because as we alluded to maybe at the beginning of this commission, a lot of those are skewed by women who leave the workforce to stay home and do caregiving and come back. So while they might both be ENTs, one's a partner and one is a general practitioner, right? So I think that's where it's not necessarily discrimination by a particular business, but always apples to apples overall culture that we are living in. So that's where it gets very tricky to.
I would love for us to have causation. Find some more data about the causation.
Yes, right.
To understand that equation
better. Because that can be something that we work on for.
Yeah, exactly. That's what.
Yeah.
That's a great goal for the.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We've got some edits for the discrimination page, adding that California employment civil rights cases and making sure we call out that it's California. We already say it's not OC, and then hopefully Cynthia's okay with that distinction, making sure that we're not causing anybody heartburn. And so mental health.
And then additionally, we chatted, we might also change the heading of the reported older adult discrimination in OC, so it doesn't seem so blanketed across. Mm-hmm. And that it does explain underneath, right, that this was the 55 and older, mm-hmm. and there was a carve out of based on their race and ethnic and language, you know, what those percentages were, but you could put that older adult context
that's good.
There.
Mm-hmm. Especially since that's where the data is coming from. So.
Yeah, and that is the question when asked, because one thing Cynthia was like, well, is that in the context of work or in context of, like, you know, socially? So it was asked in just in that way in general, which is, have you experienced discrimination?
Oh, so it was like a perception. Might be worthwhile to perceive the experience. It was perception-based. It wasn't in the employment context. They just felt like they were being treated differently based on age. I think that's an important distinction, mm-hmm. right? It's not
the question was.
It's a term of art. Discrimination is a term of art that has a specific meaning in the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because it was taken from the older adults needs assessment survey, I think that's why we were kind of just like, we weren't super specific on it because it's a whole report that it got called out on. But defining it, narrowing it down to making sure it's older adult reported discrimination.
Yes, however the question was asked.
Yeah.
I think if the question was asked, have you experienced discrimination, we might have to say it, just they have, you know,
they feel they have.
Reported reported discrimination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really was a simple question. It was just in the past year. Did
and
you
felt
feel
it
you get,
in regards to what?
It was when in the past year, did you feel you were discriminated against based on age? Yes, no. Based on race, ethnicity? Yes, no. Language? Yes, no. And then the data in the background was disaggregated, pulled apart for men and women to get the separate percentages.
Yes, so you have perceived discrimination or self-reported.
Maybe self-reported.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like self-reported.
Self-reported? Because it really is self. I mean, nobody, there was no, in the older adult needs assessment, it was not like there was an authority that they were going to saying, I got discriminated against. It was a question. It was asked. They self-reported. So maybe we can add the self-reported in there.
My only hesitation with that is because the question from the report, right, it says when asked in the past year. So if we put self-reported, I feel like it might be additional language that could I don't want to say diminish, but almost like in comparison to what, right? Like,
well,
from a survey. So
I think it just amplifies that they were asked. So self-reported older adult discrimination in Orange County when asked, and then
title.
That explains it.
Oh, okay, in the title.
Yeah, it's in the title. Self-reported older adult discrimination in Orange County, and then the blue is when asked, and that's why it's just substantiating why it's self-reported.
I don't know if you call it out in the heading of self-reported, only because it's like psychological distress and suicide. Everything is self-reported, but I feel like that one we could just say it in the, you know, women 55 and over reported experiencing more discrimination. Or
could
you know,
say perceived instead of experienced? Sorry, I don't mean in terms.
Right. Experienced is strong like that.
Exactly. It sounds more official.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if
for
you
sure.
said
and
perceived
I think
more discrimination, that is. It is self-reported. There wasn't anybody saying, check, this is discrimination, or no, this is not.
It's kind of like harassment, right? It's based on, and this is what it's making me think of, right? Like harassment, so it's based on the interpretation. But to overly explicitly say that, in my, like, what I get from that first is, like, we're almost diminishing the person sharing that was their experience versus just saying that was their experience.
Yeah, I don't want to I don't want someone to be like, well, they really don't care because they just diminished it down to something that it's not, you know what I mean? So
just being careful with terms of art, and then harassment is different from discrimination. One's differential treatment, one's like slurs, that kind of thing. One other minor point, I apologize if this was already covered, just for the sake of clarity, because discrimination is so loaded potentially. It says California tracks certain discrimination data. It's the CRD, right, tracks the discrimination data. There's this paragraph under discriminate under civil yeah. rights cases. Okay. It's this. The reason I'm noting this is there's like just as a lay reader, a potential incongruity between saying we don't have this information for OC women, and then you look over to the right, and then it says women discrimination, and so your mind thinks you're saying there's no information, but here it is right here to the right.
Maybe we say informant discrimination again.
Or it's the CRD tracks certain discrimination data, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you clarify, it's the Civil Rights Department we're talking about here. It's this other source of info we're talking about here. Okay. So then there's no incongruity.
So we just add in that second paragraph, although CACRD.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. CACRD. Okay. Okay. That's good. That's a good call out, too.
And I have one more question for going back to our conversation on that paragraph above. Under civil rights cases. So it says, to address issues impacting women, a California employer program, and then in quotes, promotes voluntary compliance with equal pay and anti-discrimination laws. So it felt like it was inserted, and I apologize for not bringing this up earlier because I'm part of the ad hoc. It's just kind of sharing that one little blurb about this program without much context, but it does say it promotes voluntary compliance with equal pay. So when they're talking about women reporting civil rights cases, and then they're talking about the way the state is addressing it is through voluntary compliance with equal pay, does kind of make me wonder if the equal pay... I'm wondering how that applies.
I think this is just kind of a CYA statement to make sure we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. Like I would love for our next report to have a section on discrimination based on wage information. In Orange County, but because we don't, I think we're acknowledging that it's protected and it's dealt with the same way that discrimination is according to the California Civil Rights Department, but that we have that data in a separate section about economics because we don't have any data that specifically shows that Orange County women have a pay gap because of discrimination. So, yes, California is tracking it with discrimination under civil rights, but because it doesn't apply to Orange County in that specific way, this is where I mean, like, next year I would love us to have some data that we could include to say Orange County women are not exempt from the discrimination that causes, in part, is one of the reasons why we have lower pay than men. But just the data, you know, according to the data team, the data wasn't there to include it as kind of a matter of fact at this point. And so it's kept, it was the idea that including it under discrimination is saying that the wage gap is a result of discrimination and that wasn't appropriate yet. That's not a conclusion we can draw. But the California Civil Rights Department hasn't come to that conclusion completely, but they're talking about that the equal pay, the laws are the same for gender pay and civil rights law. So but not that the net result is as...
The laws are there, but that doesn't mean that they follow them.
So for the California tracking, for the California Civil Rights Department, do we know if the data they're tracking explicitly with those 57% of complaints, do they break it down by portion of those are related to equal pay?
Juliana took the most time on that data.
Right now,
I wonder how the data compares. Like, is it the same and it's just how we're interpreting it?
Or is it because the only thing I came up with that was really related to pay was for the only thing that I could specifically get for women from the California Civil Rights data was related to pregnancy discrimination. There was no other, again, because even allegations of gender discrimination, if they don't tell us if they're men or women, we can't assume that the gender discrimination. And so there was not a separate, like, wage gap information that would have been tracked by gender. If there was a category about wage discrimination, it would not have been broken down by gender. So we couldn't have included it. The only thing I could do is globally, they did track how many women of all of the civil rights cases, how many of those complainants were women. That was the only time that they told you about women. And so the 57% at least told me, okay, well, at least a statistically significant, or it's not an insignificant number of women experience civil rights issues more than men globally in California. But,
okay, so I think what I take from that is for next year, it does kind of look like at least the California Civil Rights Department, the way they're addressing it, even if they're not collecting that exact data to be able to say either way, but they're addressing it.
Right.
By addressing the equal pay.
Yeah.
So it is has.
They're addressing it.
Tempting. Yeah. And even they will say under the wage gap issue, because they do address wage gap issues in their report, they say the wage gap is a combination of issues. Among them is discrimination. But they don't even claim that it's all based on discrimination, and they've brought forth some really great claims against, actually one of them I think was a California, an Orange County based company, and a few, it wasn't this last year, so I didn't include it, but it was, they had a fairly large claim, and they were able to recover millions of dollars against an Orange County company for discrimination against women based on wage issues, but they don't, so we couldn't, the only, because they don't identify the complainants by gender, we couldn't get any data on that, because a man could also allege that he was being discriminated against, or even sexually harassed, etc. So we couldn't say, you know, 75% of the complainants of sexual harassment, or, you know, some percentage are women. We just don't have that info. But that wasn't what you were saying.
That's right,
question.
Okay, so just to confirm, on page 23, we're going to add California employment civil rights cases to that title underneath discrimination. We're going to add, down at the second little paragraph, adding California CRD track certain discrimination. That way legal is happy, because we want legal to be happy. And then as far as the reported discrimination in Orange County, we're going to add older adult, and we can put it in the suggestions. Whether or not we say self-reported or just reported or whatever, that's something that you guys can think about and add comments to in your you're looking at the report outside of here. So, but for right now, at least, we're going to add the older adult discrimination in Orange County to that title. Okay, any other comments? And great comments, and I love it. Thank you. Any other comments on page 23?
Are you also adding a link to the source for the data in the civil rights section?
There's an appendix that has all the data sources. And then page 24, girls' mental health.
To clarify, when we have the final version online for people to view, all sources will be linkable to the sources.
Okay, that's great, because I had a question on the girls' mental health one. Yes. I did see the source, but yeah. And then
that one is actually the California Healthy Kids Survey.
Yes, and so that I read on page 29. So that encompasses all the schools, private, public, et cetera.
So that includes all the schools in Orange County, which is a good enough sampling to be representative, who survey during those 2 years their districts. And all districts who survey at least 70% of their youth as part of a survey requirement.
Okay, page
25,
goes over girls' health again. We felt it was important know, these little girls are going to grow up to be women in Orange County. So we need to take a look and make sure we're taking care of our girls as well.
You go to bed earlier.
I think all you, especially your language. I need to
Page 26 is more on the girls' health. Again, really good window into what our Orange County girls are going through. Understanding that those are going to become Orange County women. And we get to violence and domestic abuse. And then juvenile arrests. And then on page 28, so this one that we spent a little time discussing outside as well. So I'm gonna read it, and then we'll have a discussion about it because we need your input. So for the conclusion, economic disparity is not a standalone issue. It is a cross-cutting barrier that affects every domain of life for women and girls in Orange County. As the Commission examines education and workforce development, housing and financial security, healthcare and mental health, and public policy and legal protections, economic disparity emerges as both a root cause and a compounding factor. This report gives a glimpse into how women and girls are faring in Orange County and if economic disparity and perhaps gaps in access can limit opportunities for women and girls in Orange County. Economic stability is a foundation for overall well-being. By advancing solutions that strengthen economic stability for women and girls, Orange County can build a more resilient future for women, families, and ultimately the broader community. So then we have Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls, next steps. So this is kind of where the ad hoc with county staff felt a good place to insert, like, okay, so we have a resolution that Chairman Chafee, have you guys switched yet? Who's the chairman now?
Not yet. Next meeting.
Okay, so still Chairman Chafee.
Next meeting. Okay. Looking
forward. Anybody's title.
Tune in on Tuesday.
Chairman Chafee, who brought forward this commission again, we had the resolution, and the resolution is twofold. One is to give the status of women and girls, which is what this report, we believe, has successfully done. And the second part of the resolution is as an advisory body to advise some potential next steps or recommendations or here's what we think you should do, pairing that with what they are able to do, what they're allowed to do, what they have control over. Full disclosure, there was a next steps that I had kind of written that was a little bit too assuming, I guess.
Maybe outside the scope of
what the Board of Supervisors had control over. I had them fixing everything. Walk that one back a little bit. So I spent some time on this next steps one, so I'm going to read this. No hard feelings if anybody finds a problem with it at all. I want your input. That's why we're here. So, next steps, okay. Economic disparity continues to influence the daily realities of women and girls in Orange County, shaping access to education, career pathways, housing stability, health, and legal protections. Based on data presented in this report, the commission, which if you guys all agree, the commission has identified several areas where additional focus, coordination, or supplementation could strengthen existing county efforts and drive positive outcomes. The following next steps are offered for the board's consideration, Board of Supervisors, for the board's consideration as part of ongoing work to expand economic security and opportunity for women and girls in Orange County. So I kind of went through the five headings that we had been working with: education and workforce, housing and financial security, healthcare and mental health, policy reform, and then the last one's this child care. So continuing education and workforce pathways, continue backing programs that help girls build strong academic foundations and explore career opportunities, especially in STEM and other fast-growing fields. Strengthen coordination between county departments, employers, and schools to expand leadership and advancement pathways for women. And full disclosure, when I did this, I would Google what, because I don't know everything that the county does. And so I would Google, what kind of programs does the county have for girls in STEM? What kind of programs does the county have to incentivize businesses to hire women? What kind of, you know, stuff like that. So I try to make sure that everything in here is something that can be built on, that the county already has, not trying to reinvent the wheel. So last one on that one is build on current reskilling and workforce reentry efforts to better support mothers, caregivers, and older women seeking stable employment. For housing and financial security, this one was a hard one because so much of it is tied to federal dollars and state dollars. And so identify ways to ease housing pressures on single mothers, older adults, and survivors of domestic violence by improving outreach. So I felt like maybe we just need to make people more aware of what's out there. Expand partnerships that already offer budgeting classes, credit building workshops, and financial coaching. So a lot of these girls, especially the young ones that maybe get, have children at a very young age and they drop out of school and they don't know how to balance a checkbook or know how to do some of the things that are going to help them be financially stable. Support efforts that prevent displacement and strengthen eviction prevention efforts to help families remain housed. Again, maybe there's other programs. It's advocacy of letting people know about different programs, women to know about different programs that would help them not get evicted. Healthcare, mental health.
Can I add it by section, or do you want to wait till the end? An idea.
Let's wait till the end, okay. And then definitely if you have something to add. Healthcare, mental health access, build on county and community programs that increase access to preventative care, reproductive health services, and mental health support by expanding hours or mobile units. That's something that's pretty, you know, I know there's mobile units that go now. I'm not sure exactly who does them all. I know like BYOC used to do some. Again, outside of my pay grade, but I know they exist. So these were just suggestions of like, well, let's add some. How do we add some? Make it so that more women have access to some mobile health care, right? Encourage initiatives that address the stress and trauma linked to financial strain and caregiving responsibilities with workshops and navigation support for caregivers. This could be as easy as partnering with the school districts and having child care in the evening so that maybe a professional comes in and is able to like coach the single moms on, you know, how to balance something, you know, so just partnering with some of these people that are already in our community. Policy reform and legal protections, review existing county policies to identify where additional support may strengthen wage equity, paid leave, child care access, and workplace protections. Basically, this is an audit. Like, do the board of supervisors audit themselves? How many of them actually employ women? Obviously, we have a whole bunch here. But something to that effect, if this is something really easy, the Board of Supervisors could say, hey, let's do an audit and see what our women in the county are making. Advance structural reforms, whether through legislation, targeted budget investments, or enforcement that align with and strengthen the county's ongoing efforts. That's just looking at policies and seeing, again, like an audit, where can we enhance or supplement? And then this big one here, the child care affordability and access. That's something that the ad hoc really want to take a deep dive, especially make it a big part of next year. So a future commission report will take a closer look, if you guys agree. The future commission report will take a closer look at child care affordability and availability as one of the major drivers of economic disparity. The commission will develop a strategic advisory plan examining how child care costs and limited availability affect workforce participation, household stability, and long-term financial security. This work will help identify where supplemental strategies could reduce economic strain and strengthen stability for women and girls in Orange County. By centering these priorities in the 26-27 Strategic Advisory Plan, the Commission can support the Board in advancing practical, data-informed solutions that complement existing county initiatives and expand opportunity for women and girls in the broader OC community. And then the end is all just the data sources and appendixes and stuff and everything that just is going to be accessible to anybody. So
I have more to add on that, and then I know there's more about this last page. But just real quick, the data sources are all here. They will be linked, as mentioned. So as we were going through this report, we did notice that a lot of the data set sources since that initial draft had been created were changed. So the previous version of what we've been sharing, what we've been working off of for the past year was the 2023 census estimate. So everything in this report has been updated to 2024, which was a lot of work for the team, as well as all the new tables.
Wow.
For 2024. Wow. So everything sourced, including all the girls, had changed based on the couple of months that we waited to format this. So I did want to point that out. This is all the latest, greatest data in here, which is awesome that our team was able to pull that together. And Gabby, how are you going to feel like she did this report twice? Put all the numbers in one time and then another time. So
just released. So thank you so much.
Yeah. So that was exciting to get done and have that finished. And then the appendix is also awesome. It's 10 pages. It gives so much more detailed information about each of our categories that's out there. So for all those additional questions, you know, like maybe race or race breakdowns, age breakdowns, whatever was out there that's also important information. That's
really nice to see, or helpful, I think, at least for me, under the economic inequity, the married coupled families,
mm-hmm.
and then the single mother, you know, children. I think it's really nice to break it up.
So one of the comments or suggestions, and again, you'll have 10 days. So this next step section,
so we make this in the first paragraph here, we make it kind of a charge that we're recommending this to the Board of Supervisors. But what if we took out that and we just had it be from the commission has identified, toward the end of the first sentence, the commission has identified several areas where additional focus, coordination, and implementation could strengthen existing county efforts and drive positive outcomes. The following next steps are offered as part of ongoing work, and that we don't necessarily, that we don't put it on the Board of Supervisors yet, but we leave it very somewhat unspecified whether that's going to fall on us or go back to them, but that we aren't maybe to the point where we are making demands of the Board of Supervisors yet, but these are all areas that we think are ripe for improvement, but we don't necessarily, we're not saying that the board has to go do all of this right now, but it's not so much of a charge to them as we're just saying if we're, the following next steps are potential next steps to expand economic security and opportunity for women and girls.
So I like that, definitely like that. The reason why I hesitated, for those of you that aren't on the ad hoc committee, so there's some that feel that the next step section should not be in the report like this, and that it should be more of a letter to the Board of Supervisors as, hey, here's the report, and then we do a cover letter almost that says, hey, Board of Supervisors, here's your committee, you know, and when you look at the report, here's what we suggest should happen, versus and still having all that information, but having it not at the end of this report and making it its own cover letter.
Its own document.
Yeah, that could also be attached as, like, in the appendix, like, with a little comment on there that says, the commission.
Board of Supervisors on April, March, whatever.
Yeah, the commission recommends or has some recommendations. Please see the attached cover letter, whatever.
Yeah.
I think, like, with a lot of the reporting that we do in the county, if you kind of keep the report itself to just the facts in a dispassionate, nonpartisan way, like, the report can live alone, and then you sort of, like, then as the commission have a separate, your interpretation of the report. Otherwise, it seems like the report is fulfilling your agenda.
Well, the only thing I would say is like our the introduction is a full kind of roadmap for our commission and even like our mission and our vision. And to me, I think this is just a summary based on the data. I think a report without kind of those next steps.
But it's not a summary. Like a summary would be fine if you were like restating the like relevant findings. But you're kind of going like
that come from the report
to a whole.
I just think to me this isn't a report that the county prepared about a snapshot in time. This is a report from the Women's Commission with a little bit of. Once we've analyzed the facts, I think it was always in our head that after we gathered the data, if there were some natural next steps that came out of the data that we were very comfortable including those. And again, this isn't like what comes out of our strategic plan will be, you know, 5 or 10 page document of like where we want to take the county and what we want to do with women. But this is just kind of a very top level, like these are some areas that we've identified as based on the data as, you know, potential improvements we can make, and here are some ways we might go about improving them.
What if we changed it to, instead of next steps, what if we changed some of the wording that you had mentioned, that we make it not so, like,
directive.
You have to do this, board of supervisors, and then they all hate me. But what if we go back to, like, I think I had done a draft where I said future report.
Yes, it's here. I did print that
because
I did think that narrative was what we felt most comfortable with including, because the other part of this is that we feel that the data needs to tie, if we're putting this level of detail into the steps, that it be very clear, like these data points are what led to this recommendation. This is where you can see it, and I know.
Well, I did. I just didn't cite them in here, but I did go and make sure that.
With that, and I think that without having talked, so Dr. Marchese has not, we've not spoken to her.
Nor has she seen it.
Nor has she seen these conclusions because she wasn't on the last meeting.
So that's where we're at. So maybe.
Can I have a couple questions. Go ahead, Laura.
Send this.
I was just going to say, as I was listening to all of the dialogue and everything else, I was drawn back to page 7 of our mission, our vision. And we specifically on the bottom put ongoing advisory support. So this commission, you know, as I recall, was brought together to do the analysis and everything else and to serve as advisory to the commission. But I do agree that if we maybe get ourselves in a situation where we are kind of directing, you know, the next steps, that may not be what we're being asked to do.
Yes, and that was our point too, going back. I know Crystal mentioned it. That is in the resolution, so it was a two-part, which was to provide comprehensive demographic analysis into the status of women and girls within Orange County, which is what this was how the report was written. Right, to complete that task. And then the second part of the resolution is to provide nonpartisan informed advisory support to the board, which is then also even talked about in your new bylaws as a second item, right, to provide ongoing support to the board by presenting regular reports and updates to the progress and outcomes of initiatives undertaken by the commission. So that's where this is feeling very blurred. Like that's this second part is being included in the first part, which is the providing the report. And that's where we had paused because it's not how it was written, right? So that's where we wanted to pull that part out.
So just for clarification, right, we've relied on and looked at other reports, right, that the county has produced. I don't remember, and they're all actually in my car because I have everything nicely filed in my car. Do they offer like next steps like this, or how has it been presented, right? So I'm always thinking, how do other committees or how do other commissions prepare their work, and what does that look like?
So you want to, just echoing what was said, you'd want to look at what your bylaws are, and it does. I look at the bylaws on page 7. Thank you for pointing us to that. That it makes it sound like it's collective, but you really see in your bylaws that they are two separate categories. I understand that you want to, and this is not my lawyer hat talking, but you want to do a pull out or a conclusion, but you can point to facts as what are the things that stand out based on what we accomplished. You know, what that's one idea I'm throwing out there, not having vetted it with anyone. But for example, that way it's really just the facts, ma'am, to quote police.
People. So is that how other committees or commissions
that's what we do for
present?
The Conditions of Children report? In fact, it's funny because there was just an article released about it and they called it dispassionate. And it's not dispassionate, it's just factual. So we do the facts, we do an executive summary that reiterates some of the facts that we saw that were significant. And then after the report is published, we do community forums with each of the supervisors where we go in more depth as to like we did one on childcare last year. Like what's available, what do we need, what do we recommend, but we don't put it in the report.
I think these are just, if we're going back to page 7, like the annual for the research and reporting, offering data-driven insights and policy recommendations is part of our charge. And it says policy recommendations. I don't think these next steps are, if we're calling the report dispassionate, I don't think these are passionate. I think it just says amplify current things that support women, let seniors know about projects that might be helpful for them. So I don't feel like there's any editorializing in these. They literally
they're just subjective. Like they're not really based on like an evidence-based source that you can cite.
But we're supposed to be making policy recommendations along with the report. And to me, these are just policy recommendations.
Well, so yes, you're right. But also, we can still make those policy recommendations, but they don't have to live inside the report.
That's how I feel. I think it makes the most sense to have a fact database report, because some reporter out there might write an article and pull up a report.
100%. You're going to have articles written about this.
And I think what we
and
want
you're going to get interviewed
is something that is fully database-based.
Like I am.
Not what our opinions are about what we think is most important. I think that is important,
yes.
And we still offer that to the Board of Supervisors, but I do think it should be a standalone document.
So, and I don't think that having the word next steps, or you could call it next steps or future report or whatever, that's, I think, definitely okay. It's just, it's and when I wrote it, I didn't feel this way. And so now I see it better now that these actual things, and it goes along with, I printed some stuff, made some stuff up for the agenda item 3, which kind of adds on to that. But I kind of feel like now listening to all this and realizing the bylaws are much more partitioned, I guess. I don't have a problem with the next steps word or future report word, but I think that it might behoove us to just say, okay, let's add a blurb in there. And I know this is not what you would like, and I hear you, but I also, if in the future someone's going to refer to this, I don't want anyone to be like, well, that doesn't live there. That shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean?
Policy recommendations then. Because that it says write a report and make policy recommendations.
Because I think those don't fall in a report. I think those are two different things. A report is a report.
They can still be submitted.
And it derives policy recommendations.
They can still be submitted. I think we just make a little blurb that says the commission has some policy recommendations or some suggestions or whatever. That was presented in a separate letter attached with the report that was given.
Both go to receive and file, right? Like it's going to all go.
We don't understand the purpose of the commission being charged with drafting a report on the status of women and girls if it doesn't include our policy recommendations, because then why didn't we just ask the county to write a report and they...
Let me speak to that just really briefly, because I think that the conversation is very important. The document, what I'm hearing, particularly from staff, is the document's a tool that provides information that will be utilized by various departments, various individuals, various organizations throughout the county, and that the clarity of the tool is without our next steps interpretation. If we are to provide next steps, I think you'd want to engage the full commission. And right now, this has been a beautiful, wonderful project, but it's been primarily driven by the ad hoc.
Right.
And so what I would recommend is that you kind of go the direction that you're talking about now, Crystal, that you pull those out, that you convene this commission perhaps with some additional experts that can really speak to some of these things, and that our next steps are a little bit more robust based on the data and what else we learn about how we can solve or continue doing the things that are working and maybe look for solutions to the things that are not.
Great suggestion, and kind of leads us into agenda item 3. If we ever get there. But so you all got you all were.
No, I would just like to add. I like what Cynthia said, that and I think that's an important a conclusion would be. It doesn't even have to be titled conclusion, but these are the things that stood out to us, and then it's obvious that that's going to be what leads us into the next report.
And so when you guys preview or look at the report online, definitely click that tool and write these things out, because that's very important. You guys just all got this little one page. This was kind of draft number 2, I think.
It was the second
draft. And so next steps or future report, I think I had originally titled it future report, is just this little blurb down here. And so we could go back to that, where it just is identifying that, hey, there's going to be some future reports, and this is kind of the realm, but it doesn't call out specific kind of advocacy or suggestions for things to do in the report. And so next steps, it's basically the same. Economic disparity cuts across every domain affecting women and girls in Orange County. It shapes access to education and career pathways, limits housing and financial stability, drives health and mental health inequities, and exposes gaps in policy and legal protections. To close these gaps, Commission's next steps for 26-27 should focus on analysis of targeted practical strategies that strengthen economic security and expand opportunity for women and girls. A future report will take a closer look at child care affordability and access as key drivers of economic disparity. Blah, blah, the rest is the same. The Commission will develop a strategic advisory plan, yada, yada, yada. By centering these priorities in the 26-27 Commission's strategic advisory plan, the Commission can help the Board of Supervisors advance practical, data-driven solutions that reduce economic disparity and expand opportunity for women, families, and broader Orange County. So that's what it originally was. And then we kind of thought, well, we should put some stuff in there about what the actual recommendations are. That's how this came up. But now in hearing the conversation, I do have to say I think that we need to pull it back out. Maybe leave it just this little blurb, but have a statement that says, please see potential recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you even say it in there. That's what I liked about that, that you're creating that strategic priority plan, you know, that includes these like targeted recommendations. So you're saying that, you're providing that, right? But you all haven't had, and that was another thing I had mentioned, was you all are barely seeing all of this to then interpret what are your findings and recommendations as a full commission. And that's important. So I wanted to make sure there was time for that as well.
Which is why we have agenda item number 3.
Yeah. I just put very quickly before we get to it. I do think also I like the next steps, the first paragraph and probably some of the second, and I'll type all this into the document. I don't know though that we're ready to plant our flag in the sand on child care affordability. Like, I agree. I agree with everything that you've written here. What I don't know is, do we have the data to say that it is a major driver of economic disparity? I don't know that we have that. I feel that way, but I don't know that we have that. Or when looking at housing, like, just being so aware of, like, state and federal rules about how you can, like, provide support. Permanent supportive housing, which is something we're dealing with in Brea, how you can target it. Like, we have ways and people that we want to target, but we literally legally cannot do that, right? So just being kind of aware that some of the details here I agree with, but if it can't be done because legally you can't target single mothers, for example, you have to make it open to all, and then you can have preferences. Again, I don't want to write something that then can't actually practically be done. So I think this we need to work on, not because I disagree with it, but how to massage and message it properly.
Yeah.
And that sort of to Anne's point, like as a full group, I believe that childcare affordability is in fact a cause of economic disparity, but I don't know that the whole group is going to want to focus on that for sure. And do we have the data to make that statement? So I think there's a way that maybe generalizes some of this and then allows us to do our next agenda item and see what comes out of that.
And Chair, I'd also like to say that because this is like a Brown Act body, our alternates technically can't participate in the discussion. However, they can like offer comments as like public comment. So one of our alternates expressed a desire to share some comments. So I was going to see if you would like to call on the alternates to see if they have any
public comments.
Public comments to offer.
I'm not making a joke. I'm actually to be respectful of Brown Act requirements.
Right. I know. And so that's why no, you don't need to fill out a card. Okay. Just, you know,
right.
On the chair's prerogative, she can take public comments at any time.
Okay, thanks. First of all, I also want to just acknowledge and thank the staff and the ad hoc committee and what a tremendous lift this was. And it's really, really valuable information. I've looked at some of these reports in the past for some other work that I've done, and LA has been putting out a report like this every couple of years, and it's just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have separate documents with their recommendations. And I agree that the commission as a whole should be taking a fresh look at what are some of the evidence-based practices. And actually, the CDC and other government entities maintain libraries of programs and interventions that have been validated as effective. So generally, in writing recommendations, policy recommendations, you want your objectives to be SMART, right? They should be measurable. Like, one thing always to be mindful of, and I don't mean to, sorry, lecture, is just data to what end? Why are we putting this data out? So that we can use the data to guide recommendations that will improve women's well-being overall. So how do we measure that, right? So we have to make sure that if we're going to issue recommendations, that they're measurable. And that requires a lot more specificity and understanding of what works and what's, and also to your point, what's feasible legally and what's feasible practically, and also where's the political will, you know, is there political will to do something? And I don't know how to read those tea leaves. Maybe, you know, I don't know who can speak to that. But I do. I just wanted to kind of lend my support to the idea that the development of recommendations takes time, should engage experts, should look at data, best practices, and the evidence. And as much as you want to
solve
the world's problems and also show, hey, we've done a lot of work here, and this is worth your investment of staff time and volunteer time. I do think it's wise to break this into phases. Acknowledge this is the first step. This is our inaugural report. We're so pleased to be able to share this status or snapshot. It may seem unsatisfying, but it's actually a lot of great content. And next, we will use this information to guide the development of recommendations in partnership with staff, community-based organizations, experts, and so on.
Thank you for your comment. Did you want to make a comment also? Or?
I think I just have a question in relation to what Valerie said. Are we as alternates allowed to go in and make comments on the link that will be sent, or is that allowed?
On that, I'm not entirely sure. So typically, alternates would not be allowed to participate unless you are actually acting as an alternate. So unfortunately, I would say no. However, you can communicate directly with me. If you have
And us with the county, you can communicate with us with the county team
perfectly.
So yes, if you do have anything to offer in terms of your suggestions for the report, yes, please send them to me or send them to us. And then that way they can then work with the commission to incorporate, you know, information.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thanks. So I wanna satisfy this, but also move on at the same time. Can we include this one page, knowing that it's not going to be both of them, but just that way it gives the commissioners an opportunity to look at this and maybe make some comments on this? I know we can't take a vote because it's not an action item, right?
You can take a vote. It's on the agenda. So you, since this is an agenda item, if there is an action to take, you can.
Well, the only action... I see you, just one second. The only action I would think, just because I don't want, if the commission as a whole feels that this next step section that has all these different recommendations should not be in this placeholder, then I think we need to remove it so that that way people aren't spending time commenting on it if it's not supposed to be part of the report. If we agree that it's not supposed to be part of the report. So that's the only part where I would say
I don't
that maybe
we need a vote. I think there have been some really good points made, some of the most compelling actually, that we need more data in order to make recommendations, and then to Anne's point that the full commission should be part of developing those recommendations. So I'm good.
Okay, because you are my concern, because you have put so much time into this as well, and so I want to be respectful.
You shouldn't have written it so well the first time.
Attached
to it.
Okay, so you had a comment.
So kind of this perfect timing. So for the language here, I did have originally two things that I thought would be important to highlight in the original recommendation. So if we are going to this one, but I know if we're moving it from the report or however that's going to look, but maybe we keep some of the language as we look at it, if we're drafting a letter or the work as we go. So one of the things just to, for the record, I wanted to mention with the housing and financial security is on that, under that first section, I think there's a lot of work that can also be done with students. And also I think there are folks who are having those types of conversations. And then education and workforce pathway, there's a recommendation in there to strengthen coordination between county departments, employers, and schools to expand leadership and advancement pathways for women. And one of the things we talk about at our district is, in my other roles, is how do we create these mentorships within our agencies? And so I think that could be a very strong area where we can partner with the county to support students. So women and students, our girls, our younger girls as well. So just as if we continue with some of this language, I think there's more there. And I did want to ask, based on the conversation, would it maybe make sense to take some of these things that you came up with through the data and, you know, maybe our internal analysis and meet with some of the teams who do work in these areas to kind of see what, like, kind of dive deeper into the conversation, what already exists, and then with some of our community partners, look at, okay, then what are the recommendations? So kind of to the data and, like, you know, measurable goals, what's already happening, and then...
That's a great point. So I think you and I spoke, and for February, I think you were going to kind of provide a list of all the programs that the county does have control over.
I think it's so broad, but you can absolutely do that, and that's why I want it... if it's specific pathways, like maybe focus on one or two at a time, right? Yeah. Workforce, for example, very robust. Maybe in other area like housing where there's protections against that, then not as many where it's specific to women. But we can definitely help coordinate that.
Just for February, because
at least a couple of the categories.
And then I have a question. So we are presenting in March, correct? The first one, March 9th or 10th, I think it is. Is it feasible to say that maybe by the February meeting, a letter to the Board of Supervisors gets drafted and reviewed by the commission in February that doesn't get printed within the report. So Gabby's not worrying about that 2-week window to print. Is that fair to say that we have some sort of like letter to the Board of Supervisors that kind of says like, hey, we might have some next steps, something if we remove this out, is that something we could do?
Yes, so that you have more time with, because we could do it, it would be an attachment that we can add. And so that we have up until like a week before if we do it as a supplemental.
So then let's remove this next steps part. Gabby, I'm looking at you. That has all the outline stuff. And we'll throw this back in instead of making a whole separate page, because this is the same thing. Just please put this section back here.
And then, that will be what we can all comment on over the next 10 days.
Yeah,
is that
what they can all comment on the next 10 days, if everyone's in agreement with that.
And that's great.
Are we good?
One last question. Will our letter, is it possible to link it, like for the digital version, so that there is some kind of like historical context?
I'm not going to have time to write that letter in the next 10 days. So that's why I said maybe we can visit it.
We have
in
some more time though.
February.
To
yeah.
Get it in time for the presentation
okay.
to
March.
The board.
Yes. Yeah.
So we
yeah.
would be able to
provide it in the digital context if it's not in the printed.
We will in February, mm-hmm. right? If I have it done by February, it can be sent to everybody. We can look at it, and then it can be sent to everybody.
It seems like you could link it in the future if you're talking about like on a website.
Correct. So all of the items, yes, like your board meeting, right? So it'll be linked as an attachment, and so it's accessible online.
Yeah. I realistically can't do it in the next 10 days.
Well, I think we also need time to talk about it, right? So that, I think, hopefully we can do it.
Okay. So are we good with the report so far? So everyone's cool. You guys are gonna review it.
You guys did so much.
And make recommendations.
Thank you guys.
That's
amazing.
This county staff was incredible.
Thank you guys so much.
Okay. So then I am going to move on to agenda item 3. And thank you everyone for your input. I really value everything. I'm trying to make sure that everyone feels that they are participating and you know, that we are advocating for women and girls in Orange County. And I'm on a side note, I'm really impressed with all of you because you guys offer insights that maybe I don't have. So thank you for your input and expertise. So on the strategic planning session, which is kind of to tie with this report, it doesn't have to necessarily be scheduling a strategic planning session, but what I did is and again, no hard feelings if this, I'll take a whole bunch and pass it this way. I just came up with some potential focus areas and some questions related to that. I have more. I did 15. I don't know how many there are of us.
We'll see.
I already gave them to, so you guys can pass it on.
Okay. Why don't we share?
Yes, some more.
I have one more.
No. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Got the two. Oh, Dr. Marchese.
I'll come sit next to you.
Okay, so I just did some potential focus areas for 2026 based on what the ad hoc discussed. So again, this none of you guys have participated because you guys have, you know, only seen this now, just now. So these are just some suggestions. Again, the child care, access, and cost. And so I just kind of had some questions to kind of help in my opinion. And again, I want your input to drive maybe what we focus on in 2026. So child care, access, and cost. So do child care costs suppress women's ability to work or train? Even if women families can afford care, they may not be able to find it. Like, where is it? Is it close nearby where they work? Do they work from home? Do they have to drive really far? Is there a gap between need and actual support? So, like, I know that there are county programs that help, but is there a waiting list? What happens to you when you get on that waiting list? Is it, you know, does it take a month? Does it take 2 months? Is it, you know, these are, again, questions I don't have the answer to, but these were just kind of some of my things that I thought could drive us into a future report. Workforce reentry. So this is where we're talking about maybe the mom that finally has the ability to go to work. What is preventing her from being able to go to work to earn an income? How many women want to work but can't? These are our older adults that maybe they're empty nesters and they want to do something now, or they have caregiving responsibilities, set hours, things like that. Are there policy or partnerships that could open doors? Is this where we could, like Commissioner Brazier Sevis mentioned, where you could have these mentorships with schools or different businesses that could help mentor women that are trying to get back into the workforce? Are there certain industries that are more open to reentry and why? Like, is it the sales industry? Is it, I'm 56, and a lot of my friends that now are empty nesters, they're all going to be flight attendants. So, it's like that industry, you're going to see a lot of women my age. So there's industries that are more open than others. Again, that should be interesting. Like, why? What industries are more open to reentry, and how can we make it easier for women that can't go fly, right? Wage stagnation and limited access to higher paying jobs. This kind of goes to the point of that wage gap that we all have seen. What are the factors that are preventing women from attending job certificate training? Like, why don't we have more women? And it's in the report. You can see that when you have these certificate jobs, the number of women are so little. Why? Is it that they are intimidated? Is it that they're not trained? That can't be all. So that's kind of a question. Are there policies to help promote women into high-paying certificate programs? Like, how can we get more women in these plumbers, in these HVACs, and why aren't they in there? Just from looking at it, I can tell you a lot of it has to do with they're usually 8-hour courses. They start in the morning, they end in the, so childcare is an issue. Could the county do something to help promote some sort of partnership that, HVAC certificate program gets, some incentives to help make sure that there's childcare so that a mom could go take that course but still has childcare available? I mean, stuff like this is how my brain works. And then housing costs and stability, which again is really hard because that's so tied to so many other things. But could the county incentivize businesses to build affordable housing near childcare, or incentivize businesses women work at to incorporate childcare into the property? So I think of like Google and Amazon and these campus-like businesses that they have childcare on site. So are there programs that could end up getting, partnered with, so that way businesses go, hey, yeah, we want more women to work, and we're going to offer childcare in our location, something like that. And then what kind of supportive housing is for survivors of domestic violence? And I know that there's a lot of different, shelter, supportive housing stuff, but do we have data that says, like, domestic violence women probably need a little more help because they have so many more barriers? So those were just kind of some focus areas. I'm open to suggestions.
Well, we'd love to get our strategic plan scheduled and dive into these.
I think
it's a great roadmap. Mm-hmm.
So we could make the February meeting a strategic planning meeting. Would love your input.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I have to go.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. So is anybody have anything, and this is kind of, again, what we would use, and in that strategic planning, we would talk about, and we need to talk about the budget, but we would talk about getting some experts here to help us understand what's out there, what's not out there, what we can afford, what we can't afford, things like that. So February, so we'll work on
ad hoc committee. A survey ad hoc committee.
Yeah. So come with ideas.
Can we make the meeting an hour longer than, it's 2 hours normally, right? Is there?
If we could stay longer, that's great. I mean, we have the room, right?
No.
We go back to 9 o'clock. Remember, we go back to 9 o'clock.
Right.
10
or 10?
I mean, 10.
Sorry.
10?
Because 9 was if you
nine.
Asked the ad hoc had
okay.
to meet, because if the ad hoc had to meet,
right.
It was starting at 9.
Yeah, and the 10 gave for traffic.
So it's 10 o'clock now. Okay.
Yeah, I can probably stay longer if I plan on
it's
now.
It's February
What's that?
February 5th.
I probably wouldn't be able to stay longer. I could come earlier, but that did. I have to get
February
to work.
5th.
I mean, I think we can get a lot done in 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But it would be nice if we had the ability to hold the room a little bit. Is there any opportunity to try to?
Since I always put time before and after for like cleanup and stuff.
Okay.
So our 10 o'clock meeting, like I have the room booked until like 12:30, but I can always, as long as there's nobody scheduled like at 1, I can probably extend it out if needed.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind doing that, just so we have it for to cover. So if you can stay longer, great. If you can't, okay, so we will do that. So 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, Laura. next
slide. If we have any thoughts or anything, bring them with us. Any additions?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Bring them with you. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 4, receive update on commission budget.
We were going to ask to continue the item because we had to include what we were working on and
okay.
all of the data updates that
okay.
was done.
Well, that'd be perfect. So then we'll know how much we have.
Yeah.
Okay, so do I need to ask for a vote on that, Valerie? Or I can just say we're just gonna continue.
Yeah, you can continue.
Okay,
continue.
Okay, so commissioner comments and roundtable if we have any.
I just want to just echo the thanks to the county staff and to the ad hoc committee for all of this. All of your work. Thank you. It's really well done.
And I want to
I second that. You guys, thank you so much.
It was them. It really
yeah,
was.
Thank you to the staff. And please extend it to Gabby, too. All of the back and forth and the late nights and early mornings. And thank you. Thank you, guys.
When I first joined in March, I was like, wow, I don't know how we're going to pull this off. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. That way a little bit.
But it's a new computer. You all had a nearly completed report, you know, the first couple times. I was like, they've been working hard. You guys.
Okay, well, if there aren't any other comments, again, I'm really looking forward to 2026. We're going to pull up our sleeves. We're going to keep going. Thank you, everyone. And I will call it adjourned at 2:05. And we'll see everybody at 10 o'clock on February 5th. And thank you very much for coming and for taking the picture. Done.
Thank you.
It says
mine.
Our calendar invites.
I have
nine.
Two. I have one that says 10 and one that says 9.
I thought you sent it two.
I thought you did.
I have two on my
calendar. I just checked right now, so maybe that's it. And I didn't accept it.
Maybe what I need to do is like, because what I did was I just updated
to have another size.
Yeah. And
much more civilized. Yeah.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll just send out a whole new invite for the 10 a.m. recording.
Last meeting.
Make sure it's done a ton of work.
We think we should expand this to the commission to say for women and girls around the world, because as observers, how you guys have worked through disagreements is really incredible. Like, really.
I'm going to say how you gals, because we can't make you say you guys work. It's all women in here.
You all, seriously,
very
as observers.
Yeah. You wanted to, like,
I actually said that. It would be